Amen. And with each passing year, I'm looking forward more and more to that long life part as well as the salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are about to get in to a very serious topic here from your word. And Father, I pray that it would bring some confidence, some encouragement, that it would lift some folks up in here today that feel like they are being absolutely downpoured on by the storms of life. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people just seem to invite it. Most people try to avoid it. But sooner or later, it's something we're all going to deal with. I'm talking about trouble. From flat tires to financial collapse, trouble comes in all shapes and sizes. Now, I'd love to be able to tell you this morning that being a Christian is your ticket to a trouble-free life. But Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have trouble. So listen, if the fear of trouble, if that makes you want to stay in bed safely in your comfort zone, this message today is for you, friend. In our study today, we're going to find out there is most certainly a purpose for the storms in our lives. And I'm going to explain to you from God's word how you can experience peace even in the midst of them. Our text is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. You know, today in this faster, more complex, more crowded world, a few little squalls, they can become the perfect storm. Oh, by the way, the title of our message is Storms, Trouble, and Fear, just like it says up there on the screen. Appreciate you getting to that because I forgot to mention the title. Multiple conditions come together at the same time and they threaten critical areas of our life. Things like our financial security, our marital harmony, our friendships, our jobs, maybe even our health. And we just want to throw our hands up in the air and say, man, I can't take anymore. And when that happens, that is when fear enters our life. See, fear is a fact that we all got to deal with because we live in a fallen world, don't we? But the Bible tells us the fear in our life can be managed. And in God's word, we find a wealth of guidance for dealing with the storms of life. So don't let anybody tell you that fear is something that you'll never experience as a Christian. I've told you folks before more than once, the most often repeated command in the Bible is what? Fear not. So if fear was not a possibility for the Christian, God wouldn't include that recommendation, that order, that command so many times in his word. Fear is absolutely a reality. Now, this passage that we're looking at today, it should be familiar to every single person in this church. It's going to tell us about a time when fear took over in the lives of the disciples. In verses 35 through 37 of the fourth chapter of Mark, we see the disciples caught in this perfect storm. And that brings us to the first point for today, which is the probability of storms in our lives. Look what we read. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, folks, this event took place when Jesus was at the peak of his earthly ministry. He was often working in those days to the point of physical exhaustion. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. He was dealing with opposition from people that hated him. And folks were coming from all around just to get a glimpse of him. And most of them wanted a whole lot more than that. He had really become, for all intents and purposes, an international celebrity at that point. The crowds that came out to see him sometimes were so large they were unmanageable. Now, on this particular day, we're told in the first verse of Mark chapter 4, the crowds were pushing in on him so much, Jesus had to step off the shore onto a boat and push out into the water a little bit so he could have a little breathing room to preach and teach. So he's on pretty much a floating pulpit here. At the end of the day, after exhausting himself once again with ministry, he felt the need to get away from these people that he'd been helping. All he needed a little alone time, man. So he tells the disciples, hey, you guys jump in here. Let's go over to the other side. And some other boats went along with him. So here we have Jesus and his whole entourage. They're heading across the Sea of Galilee. And I will tell you this, because of its size and its location, the Sea of Galilee is one of the most perfect places for a perfect storm to hit. And that's exactly what happened. Look at verse 37 again. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, when Mark is writing about this in his gospel, the word, the Greek word that he uses for storm is what today we would call a hurricane. Now, in Matthew's gospel, the Greek word he uses is the same word that's used for an earthquake. So we got Mark calling it a hurricane, Matthew kind of calling it an earthquake at sea. You put these things together, what do you got? What we would call today a tsunami. So the gospel writers are telling us that this was a very, very serious storm. And don't forget, several of these guys were commercial fishermen. They made a living on the Sea of Galilee. They'd seen a lot of storms before, but this particular storm had them terrified. So this is the situation they find themselves in. Let me pause for just a minute to tell you this. Just as physical storms out there, they can occur without warning almost instantly. The same thing happens in our lives with problems, right? With the storms of life. Sometimes they come out of nowhere. I don't know about any of you, but I've had a few sudden squalls in my life that just seem to appear out of nowhere. So that's the probability of storms. Second point we want to check out is the paradox of storms in our lives. Sometimes sudden trouble, it comes to us and we question it because it doesn't seem to make any sense. This was true for the disciples. Look here, at this time in their lives, they were following Jesus. They were faithfully serving him and following him everywhere he went. And that's what a disciple is, by the way, somebody who follows Jesus. And not just the ordinary run-of-the-mill follower. I'm talking about a faithful, dedicated follower. So at this point, these guys are faithfully serving Jesus and doing what he's telling them to do. And yet they find themselves in the middle of a terrible storm. So they're in the middle of doing God's will. And yet at the same time, they're in the middle of a terrible storm. Now, we say to ourselves, well, that's not the way it's supposed to work. If I'm a Christian and I'm following the Lord, won't he keep me out of those storms? I wish I could tell you, yeah, he will, but the word of God and my own experience has taught me otherwise, folks. I've been in a few perfect storms in my life so far, and I really don't believe me living outside of the will of God was the cause for those storms. I was doing my best to live according to the will of God when most of these storms happened. Sometimes God allows a difficult situation to come into our lives, not because of something we've done wrong. It actually could because we're doing what's right. Storms are not always punishment for disobedience. Sometimes they're the result of actually being obedient, doing what we're supposed to be doing. Think about why the disciples were even in the middle of that storm. They were there because they were obedient when Jesus said, hey, you guys get in the boat, let's go over to the other side. We are making a big mistake and we are sinning when we judge other people based on the hard times we see them going through. We look at the storms they're facing in their lives and we tend to go, oh, well, they must not be doing something right. Look at what they're going through. They might actually be doing everything right they possibly can. God will allow storms into the lives of his children. And we're going to see some of the reasons in just a couple minutes, but I just want to encourage you today. If you're going through a rough spot, if you feel like you're in a storm right now, just getting battered, you don't got to beat yourself up about that. God may very well be using this storm to teach you something. Perhaps he's using it to help you be a better servant for him or to just be a better person going forward. Now, this is the paradox of storms. Point three, I want you to see the presence in the storms of life. Look at verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I want you to try to picture this now in your mind. These men are in a storm. It is so violent, they really think they're going to die. The boat is about to come apart at the seams. It's about to be destroyed. These guys are doing their best to bail the water out and keep it floating. The rain is coming down. It's stinging their faces. They can barely see a couple feet in front of them. And it was then that they realized their leader is in the back of the boat taking a nap. So they make their way back there. They wake him up and they go, "Jesus, how can you sleep at a time like this? Man, we're all about ready to die. Don't you care? Doesn't that matter to you?" And you know, before we judge these guys too harshly, how many times have you done that in your own life? Where you've said, "Lord, don't you care about this mess I'm in? Don't you know the problems I have? Not enough money to pay the bills this month. My marriage is coming unglued. Are you aware of what's going on? Where are you at?" So that night on the Sea of Galilee, the exhausted Jesus is sleeping on a cushion in the rear of the boat while the storm is raging all around him, and the disciples are in fear of their lives. The Bible tells us that he himself is the presence in the storm, which brings us to our next point. I want you to see what the presence did. Our next point is the peace of storms in our lives. Look at verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves and said, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Mark tells us here that Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves in the same way he spoke to a demon when he cast a demon out of somebody. He rebuked the wind and the waves and told them, "Stop it." And everything stopped. So he says, "Hey, peace be still." And we read that the wind immediately ceased. That's miracle number one. We also read that the waves instantly became still. That's miracle number two. You ever been out on a big body of water where the water's real choppy? Maybe there's high winds. When the winds die down, that water doesn't instantly turn to glass. Isn't that right? It takes a while for those waves to calm down even after the wind quits blowing. Not in this case. Jesus said, "Peace be still," and everything got very, very calm. This got the disciples' attention. Let me tell you something good. If you're a Christian, Jesus is in your boat. He is in your boat. He hadn't gone to sleep. He's not on vacation. He's right there with you, and you can count on that. You can believe it. You can exercise your faith around it. If you've put your faith in the one who is with you, you don't need to be afraid of everything that's going on around you. Jesus has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So in the midst of our trouble, he is right there with us. The next point we want to consider is the purpose for the storms in our lives. Now, I've always been intrigued by this story because I've heard people say, "Well, Jesus, see, he set this whole thing up. He wasn't really sleeping in the back of that boat. He was just kind of laying there with his eyes shut, and he was sneaking a peek every once in a while to see how the disciples were going to react to the storm that they were." I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe that at all. I don't think that's right. Jesus never tries to manipulate anybody. Now, I agree he may have allowed this storm to happen, but I don't think he put his disciples in the middle of it to try to scare them or harm them. Well, somebody might go, "Well, if he's God in the flesh, didn't he create that storm in the first place?" How many of you realize Jesus doesn't have to create any special storms because they happen in our lives all by themselves, right? So I believe it was going to storm that day regardless of where the apostles might have found themselves. They just happened to be out there on the Sea of Galilee. And it was there in the midst of that storm that Jesus showed us his strength. You know, I would tell you, man, it's been 25 years ago now, 26 years ago almost, that I started coming out to this church. And one of the things that I've seen over the past 25, 6 years, one of the good things about growing a little older in Christ is the ability you have after a bunch of years of following him to be able to look back on your life and you can say, well, I remember when this happened and this happened and this happened, and he got me through all of that. So why should I believe now he's not going to get me through this? My past experience has shown me that he's faithful and can be trusted. The next point we want to consider is the product of the storms in our lives. You know, interestingly enough, in some ways, the disciples came away from this storm with a different kind of fear that was even greater than the fear they had of the storm. In verses 40 and 41, his disciples said, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and they said to each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now Jesus is asking these guys, "Don't you have any faith? Why are you so full of fear?" He revealed a key concept from the Word of God, and here it is. Don't forget this. The opposite of faith is not unbelief. The opposite of faith is fear. Belief breeds confidence. Unbelief breeds fear. Here was the issue. Basically, Jesus was saying, "Why are you afraid? Don't you know I'm with you? Don't you know I'm God?" And this was the problem. Yeah, they knew he was with them, but they didn't realize at this point that he truly was God. So they knew they had his presence there with them, right? But they doubted his power. What do we do today? We do just the opposite. As Christians today, we believe in Jesus' power. But sometimes we doubt his presence. We doubt that he's with us. Now, the Bible says Jesus knows everything there is to know about you, and he is involved in every aspect of your life, especially when there's a storm going on. He's in your boat. He's willing to wrap his arms around you and help you through it. Now, he's not always going to make the storm get peaceful immediately, but he will be there to give you the strength you need to get through it, because that's what he promises. The last point we want to look at today is the promises of the storms in our lives, and I'm going to quickly give you four biblical principles that are related to this final point. Number one, God's word assures us of a safe landing, folks. I want you to notice two verses. Verse 35 in chapter 4, the King James Version says it like this: "And that same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side." You got that one? Now let's fast forward to the first verse of chapter 5. "And then they came over unto the other side." So, verse 35, Jesus says, "Let's go over to the other side." Verse 1 of chapter 5, "And then they came over to the other side." They got to their destination. Here's what I want you to see. There's two different kinds of destinations that deserve our attention. There are temporary destinations and there are eternal destinations. God assures us that we will arrive at our eternal destination, and that is in his heavenly kingdom where we're going to live forever with him. That's not even up for debate. So that promise right there should relieve a whole bunch of your fears. Our problems, folks, are not eternal. There's something that are going on right now, temporarily. The Word of God says that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't walk into there and stay there, right? We walk through it. So whatever you're going through right now, that's going to eventually pass. We are going to make it to our eternal destination. Second principle I want you to see is this. God's word alerts us to expect stormy seas. The New Testament, man, is filled with warnings about the storms of life. But so many times people go through something rough and they go, why is this happening to me? This shouldn't be happening to me. I'm a Christian. See, they probably heard some weak preacher say, oh, if you put your trust in Jesus, all your problems will be gone forever. Are you kidding me? I don't know about none of you, but when I became a Christian, I actually inherited a few problems I didn't have before. Maybe some of you have too. Maybe there are some people today that used to like you that don't like you anymore. See, because you're a Christian, you don't go to the same places you used to go. You don't do the same things you used to do. Here's the difference. When you're a Christian, Jesus is in the boat with you. He has got you covered, and he promises time and time again, he's going to be with us no matter what happens. Principle number three, God's word announces that the Savior is on board. See, as a follower of Jesus, I'm going to tell you this. I would rather be in the boat with Jesus in the middle of a storm than I had to be over here on the shore without him. Finally, principle number four. God's word will drive the fear out of our lives. And I would rather trust God ahead of time. Oh, Lord, I see a storm coming, so I'm just going to put my faith and trust in you right now. See, a lot of times what we do, we don't trust him ahead of time when we see the storm coming. We wait until we're in the middle of the storm and we're all worried and fretting and stressed out, got all this anxiety. And then it's finally there in the midst of the storm, or as it's finally starting to end, that we realize, wow, I could have trusted them all along and avoided all of this stress and anxiety that I went through. So, friend, you got a choice. You can either live by fear or you can live by faith. But it's a whole lot easier if you see the storm coming on the horizon, or you find yourself in a, you know, right when it starts, you just go, you know what, I'm just trusting God for this. That's a lot easier than waiting until you've been battered around forever and then the thing's finally starting to get over and you're like, well, he got me through it. I guess I should have trusted him all along. Jesus is sufficient for whatever life throws at us. Now, as we close, I realize all of us are men and women that deal with fear. But here's what the Word of God teaches. And I have learned this myself, and I hope it's something you won't forget. The more you build your faith, the stronger your faith gets, the less you're going to be overcome by fear. When we hear the Word of God and we begin to understand the Word of God, little by little, our faith grows stronger and stronger. And if we stay strong in the faith, if we build that faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and we get to know him and spend time with him, we never feel alone when we're going through the storms of life. And then by the grace of God, we can come through these storms with our hands held high in triumph over the fear of trouble. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our presence in the storm. Lord, you are the Almighty God, and you loved us all enough to send Jesus to save us from the power of sin and death. So, Father, forgive us when we realize what Jesus has already done for us, and then we begin to question whether or not you're going to be with us and rescue us from something that's far smaller than the penalty of sin. Father, we do thank you and praise you. Lord, we ask you to increase our faith. Give us perseverance. Help us to walk the Christian walk and to fight the good fight all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. God bless you. Would you please bow your heads for the benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.